I just want to share a message, you know, and I pray that as you lean in this morning, that you won't necessarily just hear my voice, but you'd hear a voice of God as he speaks through me. And, you know, because one thing that I've found is that, you know, Jesus, he can actually change absolutely everything, you know. He can change a mindset. He can change a situation. He can break the toughest obstacle. You know, and today I pray that you'll hear the incredible voice of our mighty God this morning as I speak. You know, and I want to share a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. You see, the background to this passage of Scripture is that Paul the Apostle, who wrote this letter, he'd just planted a church in Corinth. But he's not living in Corinth. But there's all these accusations that are coming against him by these false prophets of that region. And these false prophets, you see, they're boasting that they have this great influence within the church of Corinth, where they've actually got nothing to do with the influence and what God's doing within that church. So Paul, he starts to write, and he starts to address these false teachings in this passage of Scripture. And he says this in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 10. He says, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend for you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labor, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment." You see, here Paul's starting to talk about a sphere. In this verse, he mentions it several times. And as we live and we operate within a God-appointed sphere, is that we're not to go outside of those dimensions or those boundaries, but our lives are framed by a sphere, a domain, an area of influence that God has given us. You see, this word sphere is actually like an allocation. It's something that is given to us. It's an area of control, an area of power, or something that you and I will have an influence over and an influence upon. And here Paul is saying that our life actually takes place within a God-appointed sphere. Is that God has given to each and every one of us a sphere in which we are to live our lives. And within that sphere, we're meant to live within that sphere, and not that we live our lives, but we actually live within that sphere to actually reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. That within our sphere is that we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. It's that you and I are to reflect the majesty and the glory and the splendor of the risen Savior. You see, each and every one of us today, we have a sphere. And that's why I've just entitled this message this morning. It's all about your sphere. Your sphere. And it's all about influencing your world for people, for good, for God. You influencing your world. You see, a sphere where you and I are to operate, that God has given us authority and influence and power over. And today the question is, the question isn't this: I wonder how big my sphere is. It's not like we can sit there and each of us say, "I wonder how big my sphere is." No, that's not the question. The question is, how much do you and I actually reflect the nature of God within our sphere? How do we actually impact the world around about us? You see, as I've followed God for 30-odd years, I've found that God is a God of dimensions. And His dimensions are not there to restrict or to contain us. His dimensions are actually to focus us so that we can actually accomplish all that He's destined for each of us. You see, all of our spheres aren't necessary to remain the same size. As we move through our life, our sphere may increase, our sphere may decrease. That doesn't matter. It's that at times we live where God He'll increase it. He'll increase our sphere of influence. But it doesn't actually matter your starting point in life. It's a matter of what your finishing point is in life. And it's not about comparing. Well, he's got a bigger sphere than me. Or I've got a smaller one than them. Whatever, who cares? It's all about what God's given me. What responsibility has God given each of us? What responsibility in your sphere? And this morning I was going to actually get some Zorb balls. I was going to blow them up and I was going to put them up here and just have some big spheres up on the stage for a particular analogy. But you see, it's not about that. You see, but God is a God of dimensions. When he said to Noah to build the ark, he gave Noah the dimensions of the ark. When he said to Moses, Moses, would you build the tabernacle? He actually gives him the pattern and the dimensions of the tabernacle. He says to Solomon, would you build a temple? And he gives the pattern. He gives the dimensions to Solomon to build the temple. You see, the book of Revelations, it talks about that there's going to be a coming new Jerusalem. And God actually gives the dimensions of the new Jerusalem, this holy city that's coming, is that God is a God of dimensions, but not a God of dimensions to restrict us, not to control us, not to isolate us to a little region. But God actually has those dimensions there so that you and I can focus on what we actually need to focus upon. You see, God has put us in this town for a particular reason. And as I look across this group of people here today, God's ordained that we would be together. You see, in this township of Narendra, in this auditorium together. You see, this is no accident. You see, it's a God ordained that he's put this eclectic group of people together to fulfill the mission within our sphere of the township of Narendra. You see, that blows my mind that you and I are here not by accident. As you were born again, this is not your home for this season. Well, this is your home for this season. Then we go to another home, don't we? You see, no, God brought us together. He brought us into this sphere for a purpose. You see, and as we look around the room, I could say Stella's sphere, or I could say Jan's sphere. Whoever I say, your sphere is to influence in our larger sphere of Narendra. We're all brought in together to accomplish the work of God. You see, and God's a God of dimensions. You see, I love when the Israelites, they went into the promised land, is God did not change the dimensions of the promise. The promise remained exactly the same. God did change the dimensions of the people. It wasn't. See, God changed the dimensions of the people so that they could actually inherit the promise. You see, and I pray this morning that God would increase the dimensions of our life so that we could actually inherit his promises for each of us. You see, today God's placed a sphere around about your life. It's your responsibility. Like, your sphere is your responsibility. My sphere is my responsibility. I'm not responsible for anyone else's sphere. I'm responsible for my own. And today as I look at these things, there's a number of occupants in each of our spheres. You see, in each of our spheres, there's ourselves within our sphere. There is God within our sphere. And there's also others within our sphere. And today I'm going to break down and look at each and every one of those spheres. You see, the first one that's in our spheres is God. You see, God is in our sphere. See, if you've been coming to church for a while, you'll hear these things preached so often. It said, would you just make God number one in your life? Just make God number one in your life. It seems so easy, doesn't it? Just make God number one. Come on, just do it. That's just easy. Make him your number one priority. You're just doing Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. This righteousness, and God is going to add all of it. It seems so simple, yet it's such a challenge for us to actually put God as number one. Because so often in our walk with God is that we just add God to our lives. You know, I just add God to that situation. I just add God to my life. And one thing that I've learned, teaching math at school, if you can add something, you can also subtract something. You know, they're related, addition and subtraction. As you teach that, as I teach math to kids in year 2 and year 3 and year 4, I want them to grab the relationship between addition and subtraction. And if they can grab that relationship, they're well on the path to understanding how math works. But if you can add something, you can also subtract something. So if you find that you can add God to your life, you can very quickly subtract God from your life. You see, and when we have this mindset, I'm just going to add God to my life. I'm just going to attract Him to my life. Attach Him, sorry, not attract. I'm just going to attach Him to my life. You know, I know there comes times in our lives that we can detach from God. We can add Him, but then we can subtract Him. And it's not about adding God to our lives. You see, if you put God first, if you make God your number one, you know, there can't be a number two, there can't be a number three. If you put God first, He's going to take care of every other priority that you may want to have. So put God first. However you do that, whatever your flavor, don't make Him an attachment to your life. Give Him your life totally. Each and every one of us is in a sphere, and it's not about adding God to our lives. Acts 17:28 actually says, it's in Jesus that we live and we move and we have our being. It's in Him that we live and we have motion and movement. And here tonight, you know, like I was going to put those Zorb balls up and I was going to pick someone out of the crowd and get them to come and jump in that Zorb ball. And if you just pretend that Zorb ball is God, once you get inside the Zorb ball and you're in God, silly analogy, I know, but you're in God, you can't go in front of Him, you can't go behind Him, you've got to go with Him. You know, sometimes in our lives we say things like, God, why aren't you here, why aren't you doing that? Well, if you're in the sphere where God has placed you, you can't go off without Him. You know, like when you see those people try and move around in those Zorb balls, you know, like if they've got that and that Zorb ball's God, they can't go this way and leave the Zorb ball there. It doesn't, they can't detract it from their life. Would you not be in a position where you're just pushing God along? So often we can walk with God and we can say, God, I want to take you everywhere I'm going. You see, and that may sound good, but I found this, and even in life I've said, God, I want you to come with me into this position. I want you to do whatever it is you've called within this space. And God actually says, I can't go where you want to take me. But I can actually access that area. You see, Acts 17, it's in Him that we live and we move and we have our very being. So would you position yourself in Him? Silly example, I know. It's actually positioned in God. It's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. And when we're in God, we can never move ahead of God. You're never in a position where you're saying, God, would you please catch up? You know, like I can't say to the Zorb ball, just catch up to me. No, because you're in the Zorb ball. You're in God. When you're located in Him, there is no moving ahead of God. When you're located in Him, you know, there's no lagging behind God. Because we're located with Him, within Him. Is the best position to walk with God this year is to just locate our lives inside of Him. And that we need to move at God's speed. And that we need to go where God desires us to go. It's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. You see, the heart of Jesus is that we would not go for Him until we have actually been with Him. You see, Mark 3 and verse 14 says this, then Jesus, the point of the 12, that they might be with Him and that he might send them out to preach. You see, so often we want to go for Jesus without actually being with Jesus. If you go for Jesus without actually being with Jesus, it becomes fruitless, becomes exhausting, it's tiring. You're going to get bashed up. But when you come out of a position of being with Jesus and go for Jesus, everything changes. And as you go within that sphere of influence that God gives you authority to operate in, you see the captive set free. You see the blind eyes open, deaf ears healed, when you and I actually walk within the sphere that God has appointed for each and every one of us. You see, when you and I walk in that sphere, our hearts come alive. This morning you might be here and you're going, oh, don't know what he's talking about. You'll have an opportunity to open your heart, receive Jesus. But when Jesus finds us, he actually comes inside of us. We become this living, breathing temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, salvation is not about getting man into heaven. Salvation is about getting God into man. But so often we put this whole notion and idea about this final destination. No, salvation is about getting God right into us right now. That's what I need to be saved every day. I want God inside of me every day. Today, would you position God in your sphere? Make him number one. I want to read a passage of Scripture in 1 Kings 18. And it says this in verse 20. It says, talking about this great conflict, this battle is going to take place on Mount Carmel. And there's the prophets of Baal going to offer sacrifice. And then Elijah is going to offer a sacrifice to see who is the one true God. And it says this, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you fall between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. And then Elijah said to the people, I alone, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet of 450 men. You see, that's 450 versus 1. Not great odds. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I'll prepare the other. Get the bull and I'll lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And then you shall call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. You see, what a challenge is going down right now. And so all the people said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself. Prepare it. And then call on the name of your God. But don't put fire on it. So they took the bull which was given them and they prepared it and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. You see, they're any false idol. They can't speak. They can't answer. They can't respond. And then I leapt about the altar, and they all leapt about the altar on which they had made. And at midday was past, I prophesied into the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. They're going for a long time, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. And then Elijah said, all the people got frustrated. Nothing happened. A whole day of them dancing around this altar, calling down the God of Baal, and there's no response, and there's no answer, there's no noise. And Elijah said, all the people come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired everyone's. He repaired the altar to the Lord, which was broken down, and took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come saying, Israel shall be your name. And then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. They made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bulls in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill the water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice of the wood. And then he said, oh, I want you to do it a second time. And so they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And so water ran around the altar. And he filled the trench with water. And then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. What a fire. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You see, it's an amazing story. His 450 prophets call upon their God. There was no response. And one prophet of God or one mighty man calls upon Jehovah God and calls upon our God and he responds. And this sacrifice is saturated. And today with this sphere and God within your sphere, I love this, that Elijah came and he repaired the altar of the Lord. As he did not use the altar of the idol worshippers, and he didn't come and build a new altar. He just looked at an altar that had been in disrepair, that had been neglected. It was an altar where the children of Israel had past victories, where they'd offer sacrifice to God and when they worshipped to God and where they would pour out their heart to God. And he said, we're not going to build something new. I don't want to start something new here. I just want to revive something which took place in the past. And today, our relationship with God, I want to challenge you in your life. What needs to be repaired? What needs to be rebuilt? Something that was once vibrant in your life. Maybe you had a vibrant prayer life and something has just come. Maybe God hasn't answered your prayers in the ways that you thought he would be answering your prayers. You've neglected the prayer life, and maybe you were once in the Word of God on a continual and regular basis and hearing the voice of God and life just got in the way. And I know that happens. I know life gets in the way. But maybe today it's an opportunity for you to repair, to rebuild that relationship with God. Once you were serving in the house, and today you're no longer serving in the house because you got to a place of burnout. Today would you repair? Today would you rebuild? Not about establishing something new. And God can do a new thing. But what I found is that God says, would you repair that neglected thing? Would you rebuild that neglected thing? Would you give your attention back to that thing that is now just in disarray and it's not functioning right or properly? And in your sphere today, I pray that in your relationship with God, that you would come and you'd rebuild that relationship again. You know, I don't want to bring condemnation this morning to anyone in any area of our lives. But I think that we give times of attention to and then times of neglect to certain things. And today, I would love for each of us to address those areas that we've neglected in our lives. Would you repair the altar? Would you rebuild the altar? Or maybe today you don't even know Jesus and today would you start to build an altar of worship, of praise, of sacrifice? You see, the other occupant in your sphere is you. And today I want to address a really practical area for each of us. You see, in our life, each of us, if you're young, you mightn't realize this yet, but I certainly have realized it, and I don't think I'm too old just yet. But in each of our lives, we've got this thing called margin. Each of us have this margin. We have this area in our life where we've got margin. how to actually create some margin in your world. And in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 10 says this is, "For we are not overextending ourselves, though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ." We are not overextending ourselves. You see, in this God-appointed sphere that He set for each of us, we're designed not to overextend ourselves, but we live within that sphere. But we naturally gravitate to an overcrowded life. You know, I find in my own life, I gravitate to overcrowdedness. There's no margin in my life. And at times I just keep adding things in and trying to do things. And I found that the cure to overextending ourselves is to actually create margin in our lives. You know, when you do a Word document, you get to choose the margin. You know, you can have when you're doing a job application, you're doing a job application, your margin is the tiniest margin you can have to make sure that you can fit as much on the page as possible. But you can create a margin, you can do a small margin, a large margin. What's your default setting for your margin? Do you like your narrow margins? Because you want to fit, like me, so much in. But God's actually saying, hey, don't overextend yourself within your sphere, because you can have a great impact upon you actually accomplishing what God desires for you to accomplish in your sphere. Maybe you're not doing the right things. Maybe you're doing the wrong things. And I found in my life is that each and every one of us need margin in our lives. And last year, this taught me more than ever. I need margin in my life. Two twin daughters, working long hours, different stuff at church. I needed margin. Sometimes Tone would single-handedly raise the girls. I need margin in my life. Margin. You see, margin is this. Margin is the space between your load and your limit. The space between your load and your limit. You see, Your limit may be here, and your load can be here, and the margin is that space in there. But so often we have our load here and our limit here. We're overextending ourselves. It's just too busy. It's just too hectic. And God's saying, don't overextend yourselves. Would you actually carry the right load that's ordained for each of you? There are some loads that you and I, we can't get off our back. You know, like I can't get Tony off my back. Now, that's not a bad thing. I could see some little smirks, people sort of thinking that's a bad thing, but it's actually not a bad thing. Because as a husband, I'm actually designed to carry my wife. I'm not designed to carry anyone else's wife. But I'm designed to carry my wife. I can't get Tony off my back. There's some load that we've got that we just can't get rid of, because we're actually designed to carry that load. But would you not be one that try and get things off your back that you can't actually get off your back because it's your God-designed load? We live in a society today where there's no margin. No margin. But you and I would carry the right load. Jesus says these words in Matthew 11:28. He said, "Come to me, just come to me." The way for you to create margin is to just simply come to Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all you will labor and a heavy burden, and I'll give you rest." Margin is the load, the gap between your load and your limit. Today, would you not overextend yourself? And I think some here today, what we can actually accomplish is crazy. But would you not overextend yourself? Don't allow the house of God to become a burden. Don't allow the serving God in the house become a burden. Don't allow the things that are closest to you become a burden. Today, don't naturally gravitate to an overcrowded life. Would you create margin in your sphere? And today, let me give you some ideas of what it means to live a marginless life, or to live a life of margin. It's marginless is not having time to finish that book you're reading on stress, and margin is having time to read it twice. For all the accountants, marginless, you see, this is the red ink, and margin is the black ink. Marginless is hurrying and living a life of margin is calm. Marginless is our culture, and margin is counterculture, having space in your life and your schedule. Marginless seems to be our reality, and margin is our remedy. Marginless is the disease of our decade, but margin is the cure. Marginless is not having time to read your Bible. Margin is having time to read it and actually hear what God is saying. Marginless is having a prayer life that not only just cries out, but only cries out in times of need. Margin is living a life in which you pray without ceasing. In your sphere there is God. In your sphere there is you also. And you are so, so valuable. Today I pray that you would not overextend yourselves, that you'll carry the load that God has asked you to carry. Don't carry any more than your load, because you'll get burnout and fatigue, and it will lead to life becoming a burden. Create margin in our lives. The last occupant, before we move into a quick time of communion, the last occupant, the third occupant in your sphere is others. In your sphere of influence, it really becomes all about others. Because I know my walk with God and I've got a good relationship with God. But now it's about focusing on others and how can I actually lead others into the presence of God? How can I equip and how can I train? And as we consider the others that are in our sphere of influence, in our domain this year, I would love for each of us to be like, why did they do that? Why did you risk your life for me? Why did you do that? Why did you show that generosity to me? Why did you pick up that telephone and call me? Why did you just come over at church and pray for me? Why did you do that? And our response would always be, well, that's part of being part of the herd. We care for each other. And if we could just take that simple statement, just care for each other, replace it. The inside of our sphere is that we would do this because we love each other. And I'll just get the musos to come up. Toby and the team, just to hand out the emblems. We'll enter into a time of communion. God has brought us together. You see, we're all different. That's great. We've each got different gift sets and opinions, and God brings us all together under this banner of Jesus Christ. That in itself is a miracle. And today in your sphere, I pray that God would be your number one. He would be first. He wouldn't be an addition. He wouldn't be an add-on. He wouldn't be an extra to our lives. That we would place our lives completely in Him. In Him today, that we would live and we would move and we would have our being. Is this year, don't overextend yourself. Carry the right load. Be deliberate about that. It's one thing that I know I'm doing. I'm saying I'm not going to overextend myself. Now, don't use that as an excuse to say I'm going to get lazy. No. Carry your load. God's not calling us to be lazy. Carry your load. I'm still going to carry my load, but I'm not going to do things at the expense of my family at different times. I'm not going to do this and do that and do this. You know, we went and had a leaders retreat a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking through things, and Tony and I were saying we could do that, but we kept looking at each other going, there's some things that we could do, but there's some things that we know God's called us to do. There's a difference. Just because you can do it doesn't mean God's called you to do it. So would you do what God's called you to do? Because if you do what God's called you to do, there's things I can't do in that mix. Your sphere is your sphere. There's people that you're going to reach that I'm never going to reach. That's okay, because it's your sphere. But would you place God at the center of your sphere? Because when you place God at the center of your sphere, as you live and as you move and as you breathe, what will be outworked in you will be amazing. So don't overextend yourself. Do what God's called you to do. That's what I love about the church. You know, we're this eclectic group of people, but what God's called you to do, what God's called you to do and you to do and you to do, adds up and it becomes His mission for us in our greatest sphere of Narendra. But what He's called me to do, you can't do. That's okay. Would you grab hold of what God's called you to do? Because when you grab hold of what God's called you to do, you start to focus. Your attention moves from you to others, the third sphere in our lives. Moves to others. And this morning, as we enter into a time of communion, I want us to think about the others. You know, like for me, I look back and I go, we're so blessed. We can just freely come. We can freely worship. We can freely enter His throne room because of what He did on the cross. But as I enter that throne room, very quickly do I stop and think about me, and I start to think about the others. Because God just didn't do it for me. He did it for the others. He did it for the ones out on the street. He did it for the poor. He did it for the lost. Would you think about the others in your sphere? Because what God did on the cross, He did for the others. Yeah, He did it for us. You know, in our household, I constantly say things like this to Tone. And I'm not discrediting this, but I say things like this. I know where that person's going. So if I, not to discredit that, but if I have to focus my attention sometimes, my attention seems to go to the others because I know where that person's going. Yeah, I know we've got to care for the sheep. We've got to care for the herd. That's important. But this morning, would you focus on the others? Would you even in your own mind pray for three or four people in your sphere, the others in your sphere that you're believing for? That they will encounter what we're going to experience right now. The cross. The bread, His broken body. The juice, His blood. The symbol of unmerited favor that comes from Him. I know each of us in our sphere, we've got people that we're believing for. Could be your son. Could be your daughter. Could be a next door neighbor. Could be a colleague. Could be that friend that you've been praying for. This year, would you be deliberate about the others? Don't overextend yourself. Let's pray, and I'm just going to allow the musos just to play a little bit. And as they play, would you meditate? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you this morning? Think about the others. Pray to God for a strategy for those others that you're thinking of. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We praise You this morning. God, we pray over each of our spheres of influence this morning, Lord. Would we be ones that influence our sphere for good, for God, in a fresh and mighty way? Would we rebuild altars that have been disregarded? Would You give a strategy for the others in our sphere so that they can encounter You and Your love that You so freely give? We praise You this morning. We worship You this morning.